Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Jeanette Braverman is ensconced in a number of different worlds. She's the first African-American to serve on the Ozaukee County Board of Supervisors. She has a two-decade career in the IT and manufacturing industries, and she's deeply invested in church life and owns her own consulting business.
But it is lessons drawn from leadership across all of these worlds that inform her new book. 10 Reasons Communication Brings Transformation, Unleash Your Greatness is Braverman's first book. She explained to Lake Effect's Eden Herbert why the issue of leadership resonated so strongly with her.
Well, first of all, I'm really passionate about communication, and it's my goal as a leader to be an effective communicator. I believe that if you are an effective communicator, it opens doors for you. You know, I think as they introduced me as the County Board Supervisor for Ozaukee County, I believe that communication was one of the things that helped me break barriers. You know, during the interview process, during my campaigning process, what I heard over and over again was, you know, we really enjoy your newsletters that you're sending out. We enjoy the information that you're sharing with all of the constituents. We've never really received that before. And that was one of the reasons that I was actually tapped for the position. But what really sparked my interest in writing about this topic is over 10 years ago, I just started journaling about just experiences that I had had in industry, experiences that I had had with just leading others and helping them and counseling them through challenges with toxic leaders. And so I thought, you know, I really want to write about this. I really want to share my stories in hopes of helping others. Toxic leadership, it seems to be something that's happening in society more and more, even with what we dealt with the presidential election. You know, toxic leadership seems to be this growing trend. So not only in America, but just around the world. And I think what we used to think was okay or was not okay is starting to become the norm. And so I feel like, you know, people, they just say whatever they want. They treat people however they want, both adults and youth included. And so my book, it challenges this notion, and it really encourages both aspiring and seasoned leaders to just unleash their greatness and just to be better leaders. I go into several areas about communication in the book. I'm not only focused on toxic leaders, but I'm also sharing strategies that can help leaders improve their leadership abilities and their communication skills.
So you talked about that the origin of this really came from you journaling over years. And I imagine that through that, a lot of what you include in this book is your own personal experience. What are those experiences that you tend to draw on in this book?
Wow. Well, I talk about some of my corporate experiences and my ministerial experiences. And so in ministries, something that I share about in ministries is that, you know, ministries don't always have HR departments. You know, and so they don't always have the opportunity to take leadership development training either in ministries. And so what my husband and I did a couple years ago is we established a ministry training class for all of the leaders. Right. And so something that which is something that we do in corporate. In corporate, we have performance improvement plans and we monitor the performance of our leaders. And so in my book, I talk about how some ministries can benefit from, you know, some of the same tactics and strategies that we use in the corporate world.
So that's a perfect to talk about the ministry aspect, because a lot of people probably from the title wouldn't assume that that would be a topic that comes up in this book. But there on the front page, as soon as they pick it up, they see this is the doors to a church. And so I think it might kind of rub people the wrong way a little bit that you draw parallels between toxic leadership in the church and toxic leadership in corporations. And I'm wondering if you feel an added pressure to, first of all, this being your first book, but then in your first book, taking a stance of criticizing the church. Like,
yeah.
How do you go about that?
Yeah. And I guess I don't know that I'm saying that. Well, maybe I am criticizing the church a little bit. Right. I mean, all churches aren't equal. All churches aren't the same. Right. We have mega churches. We have small churches. But what I think it is that churches, they focus more on the spiritual aspects, right, of what they do. They don't always think of themselves as a corporation or as a business. And so then The focus is just simply different. And so what I'm saying is, from my own experiences, I think there's definitely room for improvement. So what I did, I didn't just, I'm part of the solution, right? I'm not just talking about it, I'm part of the solution. So at my own church, we established that leadership training class, like I said, which focuses on not only ministry leadership, but corporate leadership and, you know, resource management, right? Team building, right? These are the same, even though we're dealing with volunteers in ministry, I mean, you still have to operate in excellence. You know, and you still have to have structure. You still have to have processes. And that is not always the mindset in ministries. And that's what I'm trying to bring to light. I'm trying to share some of these strategies so ministries can take this information and improve. I mean, and so when I talk about toxic leaders, it's not that all is lost, right? They can still be helped, right? But the thing is we have to make sure that we have the tools available to help them. So I'm not just saying fire everybody that's not doing a good job, but we definitely want to share those tools. And if we take them through performance improvement plans, for example, in ministry, and they start to do well, then of course, then we can continue to use them, right? But the thing that we don't want is a leader that is not moving in the right direction, and we are not handling that conflict, right? We don't want to be that church that doesn't handle the conflict, that doesn't rectify those issues, because then people leave, right? When people are hurt by leaders and then they raise the issues and those issues aren't addressed, you know, they leave the church because they're hurt and they feel like they're not being heard, right? And we want people to feel valuable, you know, in church and in corporations. So do you see the parallels?
Yeah, but yeah. By making this parallel between the church and a corporation, it almost seems like you're easily placing the church in the category of a business. And I think a lot of people might, number one, disagree with that, but for sure at least criticize you for that. And so I'm wondering, do you consider the church a business, or do you wish that the church kind of did approach things more like a business?
I think that it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
Right? And so I think that they have to fuse and balance, right, the spiritual aspects of what goes on in church along with the business aspects. Because you know what? You are in a facility. You have to pay bills. Right. Some churches have employees, whether, you know, they have a large number of employees or a small number of employees. It depends on the size of the church. Right. But you still need processes in place to ensure that it's run effectively. You know, it snows in Wisconsin quite a bit. Right. You have to pay for someone to come and plow your parking lot. Right. So there's expenses that go along with running a church, just like there are expenses that go along with operating a business. Right.
So by not having the business approach, that's kind of where the toxic leadership really originates from.
Well, I what I'm going to say is that you end up hiring, sometimes in ministries, you end up hiring people because they're faithful and because they're just servants. You know, they just want to serve, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have the skills, right? And in many cases, you don't even have a job description for the person, right? They're like, hey, I just want to serve in this ministry. What do I need to do? And like, oh, well, we just need you to do this and that, right? Without going into a whole lot of detail. But you're not normally coming in there and being given a job description, you know, if you will, and then a clear understanding of expectations of the role and all of that, right? This is my experience, and I've been in church most of my life, right? I've been a member of several churches, large and small, for, you know, pretty much most of my life. And so, and I've seen this, I've lived this, I'm a witness.
So this book, it's not just about toxic leadership. There are other topics that you talk about, right?
Yes, yes.
Questioning your own communication style and areas of improvement. So what are the things that you talk about when you get into those areas?
Well, I mean, something that I think is huge, you know, when you're a leader and say you're speaking, your keynote at an event, what I try to do, what I don't think a lot of leaders think of, well, some do, and I'm not going to, you know, call everybody out here, but something that I try to do is understand my audience. All right. And so before I go into an event or before I speak at an event, I want to know, OK, do I have anybody in the audience that might be hearing impaired? You know, do I have anybody in my audience that where English is not their first language, right? And not their primary language. And so there are so many things that we need to consider before we get out there and start speaking, because we want people to hear us. So we need to really prepare ourselves to make sure that we're effectively communicating to all, right? Because if somebody in my audience is hearing impaired and say they don't have someone there to sign for them, then, you know, I want to make sure that I'm clearly articulating my words. Right. You know, so I like to prepare myself in advance before I get to any arrive at any event that I'm going to be speaking at. So those are just a few little things that we have to be aware of. And then also you just want to make sure that you're reaching your audience. So I in advance try to make sure that I understand that the message I'm sending is going to be suitable for that audience. You know, so I want to understand, you know, when we talk about topics and things like that, whoever the host is that's bringing me in, I just talk about, hey, you know, what do you want me to focus on? What are some things that'll reach that audience? You know, just so, like I did with you, Eden.
Right. That's why I just gave you a little smirk. Uh-huh. So I'm just in general, as a first-time author, you're, and especially you talking about all the audience that you take into consideration, what are you hoping that your readers take away from this book?
Wow. So the one thing that I think I really want them to take away is it's for aspiring and or seasoned leaders, right? And that communication does bring transformation. So again, when I talked about toxic leaders earlier, and we talked about the fact that, you know, sometimes issues aren't addressed, right? Well, if you don't address the issue, transformation will never occur, right? And so that's all I'm saying. Let's be bold. Let's be honest. Let's be transparent, because it's bigger than us, right? We have to be more concerned with the people that are around us. When you're leading, you really need to be concerned with those that are following you, right? Make sure they're feeling valued, right? Because that leadership is not about us. We have to remove ourselves from the picture and make sure that we're catering to those that we're leading.
Back in the beginning, you mentioned that you just were elected as county supervisor for Ozaukee County, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. What are the other things that you're involved with?
Wow. So in addition to that, you know, we talk a lot about my role in ministry. We're leaders, you know, at a very large church. We have about 5,000 members at our church. It's called Christian Faith Fellowship Church, and it's on 86 in Good Hope. It's on the north side of town. And so we lead probably about 150 leaders in that ministry. In addition to that, I work for Rockwell Automation. I'm in IT, so I have over 20 years of experience in IT and manufacturing. And so I really enjoy it. I mean, working at Rockwell really gives me the flexibility to pursue my passions, you know, and even write a book like I have. So.
Well, you kind of seem like a jack of all trades. That's awesome. Jeanette Braverman, it was so awesome to have you in. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here, and I was so happy to be here. Thank you.
Jeanette Braverman's new book is called 10 Reasons Communication Brings Transformation, Unleash Your Greatness. It is the first book for Braverman, who also serves on the Ozaukee County Board of Supervisors and works in IT for Rockwell. She'll be at Boswell Book Company talking about it on Friday.